All right, I'm going to start reading at Galatians, please. I should have given you that, pardon me. Galatians chapter 3. This has been our jump-off place here. We've been talking about living in the supernatural. And today, our teaching is entitled, Have Faith in God. Have faith in God. Verse 5 of Galatians chapter 3. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of who? Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith, are you of faith?
Yes.
Are blessed with faithful, come on, Abraham. I told you in your Bible, put the word believing over the word faith, faithful, okay? You can get a picture. All right, we've been talking about living in the supernatural, and that this is a time here of the supernatural, the miraculous. God is doing some great things in these hours. He's really establishing the church or beautifying the church. And these are the last days, and we are seeing here that things are progressively, sin was the reason that the earth began to deteriorate. Sin, not man. Not man in his natural ability. Man did something in the spirit that causes this to start happening. Now, I'm saying that because, people think it's, the car emissions are causing global warming and all that. Now, the root of that is sin. The Bible says the whole creation groans and travails together until now. That's Romans chapter 8. And what are they waiting for? They're waiting for the manifestation of the who? Sons of God. Why? Because the sons of God have the blessing. And the blessing is designed to come into the earth. And let me get my term right. It's designed to perpetually renew and supply. Glory to God. The blessing is designed to perpetually renew and supply. So this, what has happened is that God would lead us, the people of God, into ruined places. Put it up there on the board, please. That's Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 36, please. Ezekiel chapter 36. And look at verse 33. I'll just read from 33. You don't have to turn there. I'm just kind of skipping on. And verse 33 says, thus saith the Lord, in the day that I, come on, put it up there on the board. Is the same person up there? Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 33. Okay, I'll just go ahead. Thus saith the Lord, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. Watch this. And the desolate land shall be what? Till, wherein is laid desolate, in the sight of all that pass by. Verse 35. And they shall say, the land that was desolate is become like, come on, the Garden of Eden. You got it? And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about shall know that I, the Lord, build ruined places, and I plant that which is desolate, and I, the Lord, have spoken it, and come on, and I will do it. And notice what it's going to do. It's going to take places that have been ravaged by sin and make them brand new. He did you like that. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying that's the specialty. That's the power of the blessing that's on your life. And the main way you get that to happen is speaking it. That's why he takes all the toil out of it. And true enough, somebody has to come in, brick and mortar, whatever have you. But the spoken word has to go forth first. Because the word has the blessing on it that supplies the supernatural, glory to God, I want to say this, canvas so that you can paint the picture. Oh boy. See, a lot of times revelation is not what you read in the black, it's what you read in the white between the black. You got what I'm saying? Okay, all right. Now, look at this. So the world is waiting on you because you have the blessing. You have the thing that can cause the world to stop travailing and groaning. You can fix it up. And they're waiting on you. So God has specifically called you for these last days. And he's going to distinguish us and hold us up as a trophy. Why? So that the world can see what God is really like. Got what I'm saying? All right. Now, let's look at something because I talked about a couple of things here. God now, turn to John chapter 17. And 17, and I'll start reading at verse 14. All right, he said in 17 and 14, he says this. Oh, pardon me. 17 and 14. I have given them my word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So you're in the world, but not what? Not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them, keep going, from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. That word is truth. So notice what he's saying here. He's saying that, hey, you're not of the world. And what God does, and you can find it in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31, God deliberately plants the righteous among the wicked. So he deliberately plants us into the world. Now, why does he do this? Let's go over to Matthew chapter 5. I'm just kind of getting the engine started again. Matthew chapter 5. And over in Matthew chapter 5, look what he says here. And it starts reading at verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its what? Savor, what good is it? So what does salt do? Come on. Preserve. Am I right about that? That's one of the biggest things it does. Why? Because he doesn't want their lives to be destroyed before they can find Christ. Got what I'm saying? The next thing salt does is makes people thirsty. They should look at your life and thirst for the Father. Say amen to this. Now in this, what we said here is that you and I have been equipped so that we can go into this earth and that we can make a difference in this earth. So we've been equipped. We have been given some equipment that allow us to do this. And what we did is turn you over to Galatians and Galatians chapter 5. Could you go over there, please? Galatians chapter 5. All right. Let me know when you get to Galatians chapter 5 by saying praise the Lord. All right, in Galatians chapter 5, look what he's talking about. He's talking about one, the works of the flesh, and then he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Look what it said in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Hatred is a work of the flesh. I hate you. That's a work of the flesh, honey. The problem with the work of the flesh is that you sow to the flesh, you'll reap what? Corruption. Or another word is destruction. You reap destruction if you sow to the flesh. So he said, hey, wait a minute. Love your who? Enemies. Don't hate them. You know? So we don't want to drink into that haterade. All right. Look what it says in verse, and variance, emulations, wrath, strife. Look at strife. That's a word of the flesh. That's designed to tear up your house. You say in flesh with your spouse all the time, the house be torn up because it's destroyed. Sure. It's disjointed because that's a spiritual power it releases. Seditions, heresies, envyings, envy folks. Is she up here singing, "I believe in you"? And if somebody didn't understand, wait a minute, we're not supposed to envy. Somebody may not have been able to really get into it because they envy. They envy the fact that people were pleased by the way she sang that song. They couldn't even get into it. That's a work of the flesh. And let me tell you something. It'll strip you of everything you got. It's designed to. It's designed to destroy your money, destroy your health, destroy your car, destroy everything you got. Next, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean don't be saved, because you look at the first chapter of Galatians, Paul writes this letter to the brethren. So it's not talking about not being saved, because you're saved. But you won't get to live a saved life. You won't get to enjoy the abundance of benefits there are in the kingdom of God. You're always struggling or living off somebody else. Now, then he said in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. That's the first one right there. Now, love is not a feeling. Oh, I don't feel like I love. It's not a feeling, honey. Love is a person. It's God. God is love. That's a person. It's not a feeling. He said, this is he that heareth my commandments and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me. He that hears my commandments and keeps them, that's the one that loves me. Oh, I love Jesus. Well, why don't you stop fussing with your wife? Can I step on a few toes here? Well, Jesus is a healer. He'll heal your toes. You got what I'm saying? And you got to stop using that word loosely because, oh, I love that car. Hey, wait a minute. Why don't you reserve the word love for God? You like that car. I'm helping you. I'm helping you now. Joy, peace, peace. That's what people are looking for. They're looking for peace, man. But that comes out of the fruit of the Spirit. You were born again. Once you're born again, all these attributes were loaded in that spirit that you got to be born again. And the only way they come out is through the first one, love. You'll find the fact that you can't love, you'll find you have no peace. You got to get rid of it, folks. I know what they did to you. Get over it. You got to forgive. Now, I'm not trying to minimize the pain that you went through. We all went through some pain. I just went through a different kind of pain than you went through. But we all went through some pain. Even people who looked like they didn't go through some pain went through some pain. But what we got to do, drop it. Because it's a spirit. It's a spiritual force that comes out as a work of the flesh and is designed to keep you broke when you're broke, keep you sick when you're sick, keep you not to let you get released. Why? Because the enemy just energizes that in your life. Energizes every time you do it. Energizes it. And every time you take two step forward, three step back. Why? You just went for the okey-doke. Come on now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Peace. Long suffering. Now, all them I'm working on. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I've been working on temperance for about 23 years. I think about 23 years. That's self-control. I came and was trained in the military. That's why I got my basic training. Just finally training in my life. That was a disciplined life. As a life, you get up in the morning, you don't quibble back. The man says something to you and you don't like what he says. You said, yes, sir, no, sir, no excuse, sir. I mean, you can't go up. Well, I went down there and he did it. And he told you can't do any of that. You got to control yourself. You got on the front line, you're getting shot at. I was in the airplane getting shot at in combat and so forth. I couldn't lose my temper. I couldn't so forth and so on because I'd kill myself and so forth. So I was trained in self-control, but I was trained in precision. That the people worked around me did their job. And when I see that people are not on top of things, I lose it. I'm trying to hold it, but something inside of me say, let it go, Bill Winston, let it go. But I got to get over that. I got to be long-suffering. Okay, let's try it again. So I got to commit to that. All right, now, I'm only telling you this. Why? Because you're being sent among the unrighteous, among wicked people, and the enemy knows that he can put pressure on that point in your life, and you lose it and lose some ground. Are you following what I'm saying? But anybody that goes in there, God has plans to promote you. That's my point. But he said, well done, my good and what? Faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to promote you and make you rule over many. So you've got to be faithful to the calling that he had for you and do what he's called you to do. So these are supernatural dispositions. They will override your flesh if you will allow that to happen. And they will cause you to be calm in a place where there's toil and chaos. They will cause you to be gentle when people are going off on people and so forth. That's what they do. It's supernatural. It comes from God. Some of the other supernatural things. How about the anointing? The anointing on your life is a burden-removing, yoke-destroying power. And watch this. One of the definitions of the anointing is a performance enhancer. It's designed to enhance the performance in your life. How about the gifts of the Spirit? The gifts of the Spirit, working of miracles, discerning, and so forth and so on. You're supposed to be able to discern things that other people didn't know about. Say amen to that. How about the blood of Jesus? We're going to teach on the blood. Like I told you, this man with the blood, he wrote a book. I'm reading it now. He said he was in his garage doing some work, and he came up from lifting up something, and his head hit a nail, gushed his head open. Blood started coming out. He started pleading the blood of Jesus, being the blood of Jesus. Did it for 15 minutes. Not only did the blood stop, but the thing sealed up and the scar left. Don't say it can't happen. Because it happened in this Bible. How about angels? Angels are encamped round about you. Am I right about it? You remember when the prophet of God was out in the middle and Syrian army came and surrounded him by night? And the prophet of God sent his servant out to get him some water or something. He came up to get that water and noticed what happened. He saw all the enemy surrounded him in Dothan. And he cried out for fear. And the prophet of God said, there be more with us than be with them. And he said, one, two, thousand. He was trying to figure out how could this be. And the prophet prayed one prayer, Lord, open his eyes. Now, let me ask you the question. When he opened his eyes, he saw angels with chariots of fire round about Elijah. It didn't say round about him. Round about Elijah. Now, my point to you is, when did the angels get there? All right. They were already there. The angels in your life are already there. The angels in your life are already there. Folks, I'm about to really give these folks something to do. Because I want them to go into those hidden places and take out some bags of money. How about the Holy Ghost? Guidance of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost will tell you when to go, when to come, when to sleep, when to so forth. Folks, I've had the Holy Ghost wake me up in the morning. I mean, different ways. Sometimes I think he's just kind of enjoying himself. And that's true. But all of a sudden I'm sleeping, I hear this. I wake up, what in the world? My wife sleeping and so forth, so. It sounded like an alarm clock. But I didn't have an alarm clock set. And I went and said, boy, Holy Ghost, you something else. And then sometime I hear, I said, man, somebody at the door. I wake up. Oh, it's time to get up, isn't it? I'm saying all kinds of ways. Now, understand, he's a person. And he told me more than once, he said, I got to get you up now. I got to tell you something. Say amen. Say amen. I'm only saying the supernatural living is real. It's real, folks. If he can't tell you just like that, he'll come in a dream. He'll come in a dream and tell you what you need to know. Say amen to that. The angels, they showed up at the jail where Peter, watch this, was asleep, and hit him on the side and said, get up. And put on his coat and let him out. And all the guards were asleep. He put them to sleep. The angel did. And the cell door opened and all the other doors opened and let Peter out. And then the angel went on out and Peter went down there and went down to the house where they were praying for him. Watch this. And knocking at the door. And they still praying. And he knocked at the door and they came and one came to see who was at the door. And her name was Rhoda. Rhoda prayed and believed she received. The others ain't believed they received yet. They're still praying. And Rhoda heard Peter. She came back and told him, yo, stop. Peter's at the door. No, it's not. It's his angel. And they had to get Rhoda, go let him out. Look at the Bible and see where Jesus was surrounded by people who wanted to push him off a cliff. And all of a sudden, he walked through the midst of them. Let me tell you, I heard walk through the midst of them. Walk through the midst of them. I believe he just got invisible and went right on through the midst of them. Come on now. I'm talking about thinking supernaturally. How about the time that they were transported? Look at the time that they were transported. I mean, you got to see. Lord, have mercy. Folks, Star Trek and them ain't got nothing on God. But you got to think this way. Boy, Elijah outran the chariot, or Ezekiel transported. Told you, I remember a time I was reading a book, and the man said he was asking God. God said, I want you to go and preach in India. So he set it up and everything, and God said, no, I want you to go now. So he said, okay, what do I do? The Holy Ghost said, go down to the local airport and get in line to get a ticket. So he took everything, went down there obeying the Holy Ghost. Got in there, stood in line. The line moved on up. He was, I think, about next in line. Said, Lord, now what am I going to do now? I don't have any money. What am I going to do? He said, get out of line and go in the bathroom. He got out of line, went in the bathroom. He said, okay, what am I doing here? He said, go back out. He went back out of that bathroom. He went in the bathroom in New Jersey, came back out in India. Come on now. My point to you is, in the last days, you're going to be seeing a lot of this. In the last days, you're going to see angels visiting the earth like you have never seen them before. Now, you know they must have known something about angels in the first church in the book of Acts, because they said it must be his angel. You got an angel. Folks, I'm telling you, this is powerful stuff. That's why I read you. And when we started this series, I read you John chapter 6, that Peter got, they were rowing, the winds were against him. Jesus came to him walking on the water. They got fearful. He said, it is I, be not afraid. Then he got in the boat, and immediately the boat was at the other side. Immediately it was at the destination. Wait a minute now. That's like you going from here to Oregon and Jesus get in the car with you. And immediately you in Portland. Oh! Now, my point to you is, start thinking supernaturally. All right. So now, I said, let's go over to John 14, please. John 14. Praise the Lord. It's time for the supernatural. How can they hear without a preacher? John chapter 14. And look what it says here in John 14, verse 10. Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, come on, help me. He does the work. Who does the work? The Father does the work. Now watch what he said in verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do what? Also, and what? Greater works than these shall he do, because I, what? I'm going to my Father. I'm going to be interceding for you. So you're going to be doing greater works than I did. And by the way, the Father's going to do them. I said the Father is going to do the work. Now we went over to Mark chapter 9. Let's go over there, please. Ooh, feel like I've been preaching since 3 days ago. Praise the Lord. That's all right. I got strength to prevail. Look what it said in Mark chapter 9. Let me know when you get there. Praise God. All right, in Mark chapter 9, he said in verse 23, and Jesus said, if thou can what? Believe. Keep going. All things are possible. Keep going. To him that believe. So what's possible for you, okay, is going to be based on what you believe. Got it? Not based on what somebody else did. It's going to be based on what you believe. And there are things God cannot do for you until you believe. So you're going to have to believe. Say, I believe.
I believe.
All right. Now, in this, we also now are ending up in Mark chapter 10, and then we'll go to chapter 11. And look what he said in chapter 10. And this is when Jesus cursed a fig tree. Say, miracle.
Miracle.
He cursed a fig tree. Now watch what happens here. Verse 17. And when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now, eternal life is an interesting life because it's the life of God, eternal life. That's the life of the supernatural. Verse 18, and Jesus said to him, why call me good? There's none good but one, and that's God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. Watch this. And he answered and said to him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. So for the most part, what the Pharisees preached was the law, do not. But Jesus came in preaching the blessing, do. It's something for you to act on. Now, in this, sometimes what people think is they have separated themselves in terms of showing people they're Christian and have done it strictly or only by their outward apparel, meaning that, well, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't wear no lipstick, and so forth and so on. Now, whether you like lipstick or not, that's not my point. My point to you is they've tried to do it in some other way other than the blessing. But the blessing is supposed to distinguish you. There are Hindus that don't wear lipstick. There are Muslims that wear long dresses. That's not what's going to distinguish you. What's going to distinguish you is this miracle over here. What's going to distinguish you is this blessing. I'll say amen to this. Oh, God wants you to look modest and so forth and so on. But I'm telling you right now, we've been trying to avoid the miracles. And the law doesn't carry miracles with it. He who has that law got to keep the whole thing. You are under grace. Now, that is no ticket to sin. I don't think I need to say that. I'm just saying your emphasis should be on doing the will of God. Are you with me? Got mighty quiet when I talked about lipstick. See, because that's what the church can preach on. Say amen to that. So I'm saying, wear it, don't wear it, that's up to you. But don't forget the miracles. I mean, those Pharisees, boy, they can call you a sinner. They can call you a sinner and make their mouth as ugly as you ever seen it. You sinner. Okay? Are you with me? Did y'all get a close-up of that? Okay. All right, now. All right, now watch this. Now listen, now I'm not here to please you. I'm here to teach you. So my thing is not one way or the other. If I preach it good, fine. If I don't preach it good, fine. My point to you is I'm not looking for you to tell me whether or not I'm okay. That's my point. I'm not looking to that. So you can, whatever expression you want to use is fine. That's you. But it ain't going to touch me. Your expression not going to touch me. All right. Now, let's keep going here. So he said here in verse 20, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, he loved him. He said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. Watch this. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Let's keep going. And Jesus looked round about and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches enter into the kingdom of God. Watch this. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Watch this. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it's in what? Possible, but not with God. For with God, what? All things are possible. All right, let's just stop right there. Now, notice verse 22. And he was sad at that saying, when are we Greek? He's had great possession. Wait. I don't want this. I don't even want this. This is not the scripture I was supposed to read for you. I got distracted. Mark 11, what it's supposed to be read. All what I read is good. But Mark 11 is where I want to take you. Are you with me?
Yes.
See, I got to watch myself. I can't get distracted. I can't get distracted. Y'all follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
I tell you, boy, I tell you. Okay. This is when the fig tree was there. And Jesus went by the fig tree, saw nothing on it, and he cursed his fig tree. Watch this, verse 14. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter, when? Forever. And keep going. And the disciples what? They heard it. Did they overhear it?
No.
What did they do? They heard it. All right, I'm about to lay something on you right now. Real faith does not get embarrassed. Come on, help me now. Put it down. Real faith does not get embarrassed. Number one. Number two, real faith is not timid. I said real faith is not timid. Now, you need faith because faith releases God's ability. And it's his ability that does the miracle. Faith releases it. What is faith? Confidence in God. I believe God. Got what I'm saying? So when the enemy has been assaulting the church, trying to keep the church from the miracles. And one of the reasons he wants to keep you and I from the miracles is because evidence is essential for the gospel to go forth as God had planned it, that there can be more accomplished in 1 year with proof than there will be in 100 years without it. Boy, I'm preaching better than you saying amen. This gospel was never meant to be preached with all this revelation and no proof. Say amen to that. And so the enemy has tried to come in and get the church to preach on medicine instead of healing. God not only can heal your body, but he can make it so that whatever was secreting the chemical that would cause that malady in your body or the weakness in your flesh, he can go down to the DNA level. Boy, come on, we believe God up in here. He can go down into a level and fix whatever is broke. He can take a person who's been blown out of their mind with cocaine for 21 years and in one moment, give them the mind of Christ. One moment. Do you believe God? It doesn't make any difference. Well, you know, he's homosexual. He's hey, you want to change? I got a God that can take that little sway out. Now, listen, don't get mad at me. That's not the reason to get mad. My point to you is he can line you up with the Bible. And in the Bible, there wasn't no Adam and Steve. There was Adam and Eve. Now, don't be coming down on me. I'm going to just share with you the Bible, and I'm going to share with you the truth. I'm not going to look at your face because I'm going to stand on the truth. And God's going to promote me for it. That's the key. You don't promote me. God promotes me because my faith is in God. And that's where the Christians have backed off. Politically correct and all of this stuff. Backing up. Now no miracles, no proof. Now no supernatural, now no strength. And pretty soon we are knocking on doors begging for a donation. Or trying to play bingo games to get the deficit out of the way. Folks, we need to come back. Can you ever see Jesus going from door to door trying to get a donation so he can keep the disciples with something to eat? Oh, I'm doing a good work. Can't you give to us and so forth? What? He invited all them to come to dinner. He said, you come on, follow me. I'm about to feed every one of you as much as you can eat. That's where you're going. But if you got low self-esteem, if you got a low ceiling, if you're always intimidated, if you're living so close to the world that like Samson, all of a sudden you lose your strength because you think more of Delilah than you do of Jesus, I'm gonna tell you, you are accident going somewhere to heaven. Now don't make me preach up in hell. I believe God. Folks, when you start operating in righteousness, you're going to find the miracles going to take place. Now, listen, I have nothing against people. Understand, I love people. You've got to love people. I don't care who they are, what kind of lifestyle. I don't care if they're drug dealers. You still got to love people. But I'm saying that there's a power that God has to put through the church. And one of the things that it's after, the enemy is after, he's got to get after you to try to do something to block that power. Now, I'm saying here, what I've just read is the fact that in our lives, one of the things is that we cannot get embarrassed. Faith does not get embarrassed. I'm going to say it one more time. Faith does not get embarrassed. Let me tell you the next thing about faith. Faith is not timid. If you are timid, you'll find that pretty soon the devil will shake you out of your faith. Well, I'm not timid, I'm just shy. No, you're not. You got fear inside of you, and fear will contaminate your faith and make you timid. You got to be bold in it and say, wait a minute. Folks, it sucks that the Christians don't want to just stop for a moment and just pay grace over their food with the people at work. That's part of the light that you've got. The light that you've got says, pardon me, I'm just about to bless my food. Thank you. Would you like me to bless yours? I can bless yours too. Now, I'm saying that because I don't care what profession you're in. When I was in IBM and going on up as manager, hey, I still stopped everything. I was bold. They knew who I was. Wasn't no doubt whether Bill Winston was a saint or not, Christian. And I wasn't trying to wear it on, beat nobody down, but what I was trying to do is let my light so shine. Because when they had a problem, every time they'd come to me, say, could you pray for me? I said, yes, sir, sure can. Not only pray for you, invite you to church. Because I believe God wants to save your soul. Say amen to that. Boy, they got a prayer answered in their life and they'll find that church. They'll beat that church down trying to get to the door. Sure, because the answers are in there. I said, God has put the answer inside of you. The last thing, real faith is not self-conscious of other people. All right? Now let me talk about this for just a minute. See, when I talk like this, immediately the devil comes in on me. I'm just telling you what happened. He said, now you shouldn't have said that. Well, I used to start crying, but now I don't anymore. Now I know that's what I should have said. Because if I shouldn't have said it, he would have told me I should have said it. All right, let's look at this. Wait a minute now. Stay with me. Have faith in God. That's the theme here. Let's go to 2 Samuel. And 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Folks, you preach this kind of stuff over in Africa, they will come loose. They're so glad to hear the truth, they don't know what to do. But sometimes you preach it over in the United States, well, I don't know. Why? Because you got too much. You need to take a journey down by Barely Get Along Street, down there by Grumble Alley. You lose some of that you got and you'll be glad to hear the truth. You got too much, you're too comfortable. You got so comfortable that you don't even want to hear anything about what the Bible says about the right lifestyles. And you don't want to hear that, let me tell you, you are dangerous. You're just getting like Samson. You're about to get on the wrong side. And you get on the wrong side, you're going to be judged with them. Tell you, one of the things that's missing in church is the fear of the Lord. Because see, when I was growing up, the preacher wasn't scared to say that, all right, you do this, you're going to go to hell. He'd say it right out there, you're going to hell. They don't say that anymore. But do you know there are some people going to hell? This guy wrote a book. I was listening to him on Sid Roth or whoever. He said, you know, one of the things I was surprised when God took me to that journey to heaven, that a lot of preachers weren't there. He said, that surprised me. I'm telling you, folks, these are the last days. Now, I know some of y'all, I ain't coming back in that anymore. Okay. All right, look what it says here in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Come on, I'm not up here to please me. I got to preach the truth. I got to give you the truth. I love you, so that's why I'm going to give it to you. If I didn't love you, then I'll give you some sweet snacks so I can fleece you. So I can keep you happy with me so you give me your money. But I'm not doing that. I'm going to preach you the word of God, the truth of God's word, just like it is. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 6. Look at verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. Now, what did David do? David was a man after God's own what? Heart. So now here's David out there with just something around his loins dancing out there before the Lord. Verse 20. Then David returned to bless the household, his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "Now how glorious was the king of Israel today?" Watch the tone of my voice now. "Who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens of his servants as one of the vile fellows shamelessly uncovered himself." You see what I'm saying? Now, what is she doing? David is a man of faith. And he is a king that loved the Lord. So he was unashamed of his faith. We went over to Rwanda, I think it was, and here we were. And they invited me down because they wanted me to bring a message for tonight because the president didn't come out in public that much except with his bodyguards and all that. So it causes a distraction sometimes. So he wanted us to come there. So it took me and the team. We went there. And that was the president. And they started playing the music. And the president just got loose. I mean, coke came off. I said, "Well, all right, Doc. That's what I'm talking about. I kind of got loose myself." Watch this. David was known to talk with the aristocrats or talk with a servant because he was a man after God's own heart. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Now, here's Michelle. She comes down on him for coming off of what she called his kingly place and dancing like a commoner. And look at verse 23. "Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children until the day of her death." He shut up that womb. Watch David over in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're done. Y'all get something out of this today. I have nothing against anybody, but I'm going to tell you something. We're going to stop backing up off the truth. So keep this thing just like it is, because God will fix anything. I said he'll fix anything. There's nothing too hard for him. Look what it says here in Samuel. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 17 is where David came to front line. His daddy sent him up there with some crackers and cheese or something for his kid. And so here he was. He came to the front line. But once he got to the front line, saw them. They were all dug out and fearful because of this man Goliath. And David said something. He said, "Now, what is a man going to get if he slays this giant?" He said, "Well, you're going to get taxed." Well, that was enough right there. He said, "All right, stop right there. Praise God. I'll take it myself. Praise the Lord." So then he goes on down. He goes, finds his way up to Saul because his faith is promoting him. He finds his way up to Saul, and Saul said, "David, take this armor and put it on." David said, "No, I haven't tested that stuff out." He said, "David, now you're about to fight a man that's been trained in war from a youth. Check it out." Are you what I'm saying here? Trained in war from a youth. You're about to fight this man. David said, "Wait a minute now. Let me get you straight. You know. He said, "Now, I've killed a lion, and I did that with my bare hands. And then here come Yogi, a bear, and I killed him. Now I can take this man too." Now watch this. David did not have misplaced faith. That's faith that's got faith in somebody. Faith in your political position, faith in your degree from your college, faith and so forth, instead of having faith in God. Any other kind of faith, Satan will defeat it. He was in this earth 6,000 years before man. He was in this earth before man came, and 6,000 years he'd been in here, and he was anointed, cherubed, covered. He got more tricks than you ever thought you had. Your degree will never whoop Satan. Your political position will never. I don't care how many Masons you know, you never whoop Satan. You'll never defeat him. If he won't take you down, he'll take you down. My point to you, get your faith in the right place. Have faith, come on, in God. What did he do? He said, I'll have this guy. I'll take him. Now, this is the interesting thing about this. In this, David announced the outcome in the middle of the battle. I'm talking about having miracles in your life. Start announcing the outcome in the middle, come on, of your battle. I said, start announcing the outcome. Now, don't think you got to do it, because Jesus said, it's not me. Come on, help me now. It's the Father. He does the work. But his way is for me to announce the victory in the middle of the battle. And that's what I'm going to do. Say amen to that. Verse 43. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you come to me with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. How many of you know what God blesses cannot be cursed? You don't even need to be concerned of whether the devil can curse you or not. Stop being concerned about that. Believe that he can. Stop giving him some power. He cannot curse you. I got proof for it. I don't have time to go in here right now, but whatever God blesses is blessed. Say amen to that. And God said, I will bless them that what? Bless you, and I will, come on, curse them that curse you. They can't touch you. Witchcraft can't touch it. Come on, sorcery can't touch it. Look what he said in verse 44. And the Philistine said to David, you come to me, and I'm going to give your flesh to the fowl of the air and to the beast of the field. Watch this. And then said David to the Philistine, now you coming to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I'm coming to you in one name, the name of the Lord of hosts. No misplaced faith here. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Watch this. This day. Not next Tuesday or Labor Day. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. Watch this. And I will what? Smite you. I'm going to take your head off of you. And I'll give your the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all of the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now, I am not asking all these other armies back here to go with me, because they're afraid, they're scared, they're dot in foxholes and dug out. But I'm going to do it because me and God are a majority. We are going to come against you, and what I say, he will do. Now, you got to know this, and I want you to do something. Put your faith in God from now on. Your faith is in him. You don't have misplaced faith in whether or not your company is going to stay around, whether or not this doctor's report was right, whether or not. Have faith in God. I'm talking about, I don't care if the man's running out on you. You got some promises in here about God's peace in your life. I'm saying have faith in God. Don't be concerned about what the newspaper said. Have faith in God. I'm saying with you, no matter what evil report may come into your life, just make up your mind, I'm going to have faith in God. Now, Take a seat. This message was for you. This is your message today. I brought it back from Africa. You, from now on, don't be moved by anything other than the Word of God. Now, hear what I said. You love all people. God on purpose plants you among the wicked. You can't go in there hating. I don't care what race they are, or what lifestyle they're living. You can't do it. Just speak blessing on them. I said, just speak blessing on them. And watch God begin to change everything around you. Give God a praise because we're going for it. We're going to bring this thing home. Glory to God in heaven. All right. I preached a little.